The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What has Trot shown you as a young kid?
Trot? Yeah, I think Trot's got a good future. And that future may be now. He's got good instincts, really likes the game. He's smart. You know, he's got a lot of good qualities.
Well, 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 welcome back. It's the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us, 215-592-9494. For the voice there, Hugh, of Vic Fangio just a few minutes ago. So obviously, Hugh, a big story coming into this week now is the unfortunate loss of N'Kobe Dean. And I think we all saw the same thing on Sunday. When he went out, the Packers were like, hey, we're going to throw to Josh Jacobs right at Oren Burks. And Oren Burks struggled in pass coverage. Now, I was assuming you, and I'm still going to assume Oren Burks is going to be the next guy up. But what do you make of Fangio kind of opening the door that maybe Trot's going to play more on Sunday?
Probably not going to be the starter, but he could play an intricate part in that. And we talked about this a little bit last night on the Players Lounge, where the reason why they had a time where they split time a little bit, because both guys play special teams. Mm-hmm. So if Jeremiah Trotter Jr., could come in and he could solidify that spot. You never know. I'm excited on so many different levels for this because I know I haven't seen it, but I can just imagine every night when Jeremiah Trotter Jr. comes home or he gets where he's going, that him and his dad are looking at film.
Of course.
And Trot is telling him about certain things that he sees and everything. And it allows Trot to be closer to the game. And be involved with his son and just having that time together, man. That's really, really cool. And I'm excited about it. And that's the one guy who, when you talk about the moment being too big, he probably didn't heard about this and prepare for this moment ever since he was drafted by the Eagles. So I don't think that being in this moment and the lights being so big, I don't think he'll be overwhelmed by any of that.
Trot's going to be pumped if you talk to Trot.
I have not. I haven't talked to him. I probably send him a message and see what he's thinking, but I'm pretty sure he's stoked. He's pretty stoked.
Gotta be.
Could you imagine the link on Sunday night? You're talking about, Hugh, the cold and the darkness. Could you imagine if it's like, 6 o'clock on Sunday, fourth quarter of that game, Eagles up, 7-10, Rams driving, trying to get back in the game, 5 minutes to go, and Trot makes a big third down stop on a pass to the running back, and he stops before he gets to the first down. The link will explode. If Trotter, it makes the stop to kind of seal the game.
I feel like if I was writing his origin story, it has to be a big interception. It has to be he drops into coverage and he gets a pick and he takes it for like 20 yards. That right there, that's how I kind of feel. Because he's very smart. He was smart when he was at Clemson. And you know, just being able to watch film with your pops and understand different concepts that are going on and things like that, I see that more so than anything. Because that's the one thing that his father brought to the table, his instincts, and being able to recognize certain pass sets and formations and knowing exactly where the ball could go. So I can see that. I see that more so than a big stop plugging the hole.
We got to get a junior chant going at the link.
Oh, man. He was on with the morning show during the summer at camp. He landed on what he wanted his nickname to be, wasn't it? Was it Axeman Jr.? Trot you? He told them. Maybe we could dig it up before we get to the end of the week. 215-592-9494. So Vic Fangio says it could be now, Jeremiah Trotter Jr.'s time, as the Eagles need to replace the Kobe Dean. That'll be a fun subplot as we get closer to the weekend. Let's go back to the phone lines here. Your thoughts on Jalen Hurts. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation. PIDentalCenter.com. We've discussed Jalen's performance on Sunday against the Packers, 13-21, you know, in the low 100 yards. It wasn't bad by any stretch. I mean, Jalen played fine. We've seen Jalen play like this at different times this season. Are you giving him a mulligan for his performance? Hugh is, Kyle is. I'm not, because it didn't strike me as anything different than what we saw, you know, a handful of times this season. I think he needs to be better if they're going to keep winning, and especially next week and the week after to win a championship. OG Wade is up on WIP. What's up, OG?
What's up, fellas? How we doing today?
Good, OG. What's going on?
I agree with you and Kyle. I don't need to give him a mulligan because, well, they do. But I'm saying I don't want to give him a mulligan because I don't believe he needs one. I believe that what we've seen was basically what was expected. You know what I'm saying? What was not expected was when your quarterback can perform at a low vibration like that and still get the win and still not turn the ball over, still not make the mistakes. So, coming off rusty and all this is what they want to call it. You would have probably thought he was going to throw an interception, probably fumbled the ball. You know what I'm saying? He did none of that. Took care of the ball, got the W. You know, the one thing that I can appreciate with Jalen is that he's not pressed to impress. You know what I'm saying? Like, he knows if he don't make a play here, he knows he can live to play that other down and try to make a positive play on the next one. I don't see him pressing where he's got to prove his contract like last, you know what I'm saying, or prove to the world that he's this, that. No, he understands what he is and what he means to this team. And the one thing that we've been missing through all of this in these playoffs is that we did not have a defense that could not get off the field. Now we have that. This is the better time for Jalen to accept his role and be that, what do you call it, game manager, be the guy riding and all that, because so many times we watch these playoffs and these teams and we see that, well, if this quarterback doesn't play well, his team has no chance to win.
Right, right.
That's not the case for the Eagles. If Jalen doesn't play well, we still got a chance to win. All Jalen got to do, don't turn the ball over. Don't be the reason why we lose this game. I'm good with it. You know what I'm saying? I'm over the debating and everything. And I always tell people that I believe that Jalen is the best quarterback in the league. And I say it because I always wanted someone to say, well, why do you think that? They think I say it because he throws for 5,000 yards, 42. No, it's what he means to the team. Remember the guy that in that last game that hit Saquon Barkley after the play, threw him down and everything?
Yep.
Did you see how enamored he was when he did that? But when Jalen got in his face, and no, it wasn't, and I can assume wasn't saying nothing disrespectful to him, but you see how he de-escalated? And then when he went to the sideline, he went back to 100 because he getting cursed out by his own coaches. Jalen managed to get this guy de-escalated. That's not even his damn teammate. I'm just saying, it's little things, man, that a quarterback does that makes you know he's that dude.
Well, he brings a lot of intangibles. I mean, he does. He's not the best quarterback in the league, but he brings a lot to the surface, to the table. I mean, he does, OG. My thing is this. At some point, they're going to need more out of the passing game, and he's going to have to do more. Maybe it wasn't last week, but at some point they will.
I asked you this a while ago when you had that question before, right?
Mm-hmm.
When has Jalen Hurts ever needed to make a play in the passing game and wasn't, and we lost?
Well, I mean, they've lost even, games. I mean, like
I know that. I know. But you
he did throw a pick to end the Atlanta game.
When have we? Say that again.
He threw a pick to end the Atlanta game
and against Seattle last year.
Right. But that. Well, we can also debate that if Saquon don't drop that ball, he's not even throwing that.
But you set up the scenario. When is he going to have to throw? And then
I'm saying by and large and on the average. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not. You can pick out a game. I'm sure. You know what I mean, every quarterback you're going to be able to do that for. But what I'm saying is that it's not his MO that to let us down when we need him to make a play. My point is. We've seen Jalen make a play more times than not when needed for us to win.
Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, he's been a winning quarterback. I mean, but sometimes you know, and OG, it's a good phone call. Sometimes you can make plays early, and then the game is different late, so you don't have to have that moment. Like, can he lead them on a 2-minute drive for you to win a game? He can. But like if they're more effective in the second and third quarter on Sunday, we're not biting our nails with 2 minutes to go, hoping they hold on. Or you know what I mean? Like it's not just about what you could do with 2 minutes to go. It's about how well you play the whole game.
Yeah, and I think that for the most part, coming off of concussion protocol and everything like that, I think Jalen did a pretty good job. Now, I was one of the ones that felt like he probably was going to be a little slow. You know, getting into the rhythm of the game and getting the game going and everything. And I kind of expected last week to be exactly what it was. Not a game where Jalen did a whole lot. Now this week, the stakes are a little higher. Still not expecting Jalen to be the guy that everybody else is talking about. I think that in order to win this game, it's going to be about being physical. It's going to be about leaning on that L.A. Rams team, that defense, and making them fold at the end of the day like a cheap suit. Make them fold. I think that's going to be the key to this game, winning this game. That's what you're going to have to do.
So, like what O.G. Wade and you were just talking about, really, and I'm not comparing Jalen Hurts to this guy, but it's the Tim Tebow phenomenon.
Just
play
win.
Awful the majority of the game, but magic at the end. And that was the only reason that anybody was like, well, you know, Tim Tebow can play in this league because he clutches up. I mean, there are three other quarters to a football game.
Well, and right. And then as they play better opponents, and I know the Rams are kind of a weird thing where some people think they're dangerous, some people think not. Their quarterback is dangerous. I mean, here's what I need from Jalen on Sunday. Not his ability to win the game if it gets tight in the fourth quarter. How about play well for three? One thing I don't want Sunday is I don't want the ball in Stafford's hand down three or four with 4 minutes to go. That's a scenario I'd like to truly avoid because that guy's been through this a lot. They showed something last night, a graphic, and I know you mentioned last night he didn't have that many yards throwing, 200 or whatever. But you know, entering last night, Matthew Stafford in his career had more passing yards per game in the playoffs than anyone in the history of the NFL.
Yeah, I did see that.
I mean, this guy's shown up in big moments. Matthew Stafford's still a dangerous quarterback.
Yeah, no question about that. And you don't want to get him going. I feel like there are going to be opportunities to get picks in this game. And I like the swagger and the bravado that the defense brings to the table. But you got to put points on the board. You have to make him throw the ball more in order to have success. Like, I feel like going into this game, our biggest asset is the physicality of our offensive line and our running back. Lean into that. I don't need Jalen. This is a game that, you know, people talk about matching up well. If you say we never take the ball first, you stop them on that first possession, and you start grinding it out by running the ball, then you put them in a position where they have to throw in volume in order to get back in the game. You do that a couple times. You take 8-9 minutes off the clock every possession that you have. Then the first thing you know, we're in the second half. And now and if they're not getting it going – then they have to put the ball in harm's way. That changes their whole game plan. They're going to come in here and try to do the same thing that the Green Bay Packers did last week. They're going to try to slow the game down because that's our bread and butter. Even though it was tough slogging last week, Saquon still copped over 100 yards, still got over 100 yards.
Plus, they're off a short week, and Minnesota ran 71 plays last night. Now, the Rams obviously held them down. It wasn't like they were running all over the field. But their defense was on the field for 71 plays week.
Lean into that. That's what you lean into. It's about strategy in the playoffs.
Coach Douglas getting ready for Sunday?
No, I'm saying because people are talking about, oh, what Jalen needs to do. Jalen doesn't need to do anything but hand the ball to Saquon Barkley and make some key throws here and there. Now, we get to the NFC Championship game, that's a different animal. But in this game, if you're going out there and you're expecting him to be 100-something yards, and it might not be the case. That, why would you do that?
So you think we got one more week of this before he's got to raise his game?
I would say this. When you're in the playoffs, you play to a team's weakness more so than you probably do in the regular season. And right now, during this time of year, with everybody's banged up, we have a strong running game. And I can tell you to a man that at the further you go in these playoffs, those secondary guys,
yeah,
the ones that aren't used to tackling, they don't want to tackle. Nobody – like, no disrespect to Slay.
Uh-oh.
It's none. But Slay is – he's known for not wanting to make tackles. Slay was tackling his ass off this year. Slay tackles so much that every now and then he needs a couple moments. He needs some moments. Slay, if you listen, I love you to death, dog, but it's the truth. It's the fact. He gonna go in there, he gonna make a play, but he gonna take a couple off because he need to gather himself.
You're saying do that to the Rams.
Do that.
You know what I've noticed a couple times that you've said today, Hugh? I think we need to dive more in this as the week has gone on. You've talked about how the game will be at 3 o'clock, right? So by the time we get to the second half, it's going to be dark outside. Are you asserting that the Rams are afraid of the dark?
No, I'm not asserting, but it's the temperature changes.
I know. I just like the idea that the Rams are afraid of the dark.
Because when you
look at the podcast total.
Even playing on the East Coast for all the years that I played on the East Coast, when that weather changes, when it gets later, you'd be like, damn. I mean, you're used to it if you're used to it. But it's still like, damn.
Well, and this is a weird start time. I think they started this last year in the divisional round because they want that 6:30 block for like that big night game. That'll be Baltimore and Buffalo Sunday evening. 3 o'clock, you don't get many 3 o'clock starts in the NFL, right? We have late afternoon. Sometimes it's 4:30 yesterday or Sunday. A lot of ones, night games. 3 o'clock, it is a weird start. So if the Rams are afraid of the dark, it starts off in the light and then it gets dark.
It's the earliest possible window for a team traveling from the West Coast to go to the East Coast. And they're on a short week.
Yeah, they don't usually put them at 1 o'clock.
And by the way, I mean, I know they've had home games, but Cardinals, Seahawks, and then in Arizona. So they've been on the West Coast for like a month.
The body clock all off maybe on a short week. I like that. 215-592-9494. All right, earlier we played some of Chuck and Mount Airy against Seth Joyner. How about a different morning show rivalry? What about Seth and Joe DeCamera going back and forth? Let's listen to some of this.
Seth, let's talk about the offense. What stood out to you yesterday? Eagles offense.
They won the game. Plain and simple. You know, I
the defense won the game though.
No, they won the game because you have to put points on the board. Guess what? If the offense doesn't put 22 points on the board and the Green Bay Packers put 10 points on the board, the way that the game goes, the Eagles lose and we don't have a game next week. See, Philadelphia, this is y'all's problem. You need to learn how to be a little more grateful for the blessings that you get. It could have easily been the other way around, that we're crying and boo-hooing and talking about Nick Sirianni's job and everything else today, rather than being grateful for the fact that we get another Sunday to play another playoff game. We want to bitch and complain about, oh, the offense only. Stop it. Stop it already.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I can tell you that right now. That's not a great way to start it out, bro. I love you to death, but you know, and I know, that dog ain't going to run.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I grateful for the offense feels like a stretch on Sunday. They had a short field, and then they scored 15 points the rest of the game. I'm grateful for the team and the organization. They're back in the divisional round and maybe a conference championship. Like, they're a great organization. We all should be thankful for that. They're the best franchise in Philadelphia. But, like,
we're being honest. The offense should be grateful for the defense and Saquon Barkley.
The defense and the special teams. They took the ball away four times. The Eagles scored 22 points.
Yeah, that grateful dog ain't going to hunt.
Yeah, we got one more. These guys going back and forth. Let's hear this.
You know what people do? People look at the stat line. Oh, 13 of whatever for 131 yards, and then they go blind because they don't see the damn touchdown.
Do you think
they go blind because they don't go to the end of the line and see the 111 rating?
Do you think
you understand what I'm saying, John?
Do you think
I told you I'm here to rescue you today, my friend.
Do you think Jalen was good yesterday?
Jalen was good enough yesterday.
I know he was good enough. Do you
think
he's
good enough? That's all that mattered yesterday. That's all that mattered yesterday.
Well, that's like saying Mario Chalmers was good enough because he played with LeBron, Wayne, and Bosh. Okay, but.
Did they win the championship?
Yes.
Okay, then he was good enough.
Yeah, but it doesn't mean he's good.
He was good enough.
I agree.
Okay?
We agree.
Every year is different.
And next week, I think he'll be better.
In 2017, they were good enough to win the Super Bowl, okay? In 2000,
Seltzer put Adam Eaton in the Phillies Hall of Fame.
21, 22.
It was good enough.
Guess what? They were good enough. They were almost good enough, short by 3 points to get there. Right now, they're good enough to play next week. And guess what? Yeah. That's all the damn matters. Okay.
Well, so I agree with part of what Seth said there. But Hugh, everyone now is thinking, are they good enough to win this week and next week? It's about a championship, right? It's like, yeah, beating the Packers 22-10 is wonderful. I didn't have any doubt they're going to win that game. How about that? Jalen Hurts is the Mario Chalmers of this
Mario
group.
Chalmers.
And then the Adam Eaton. That one was a lot.
That's tough.
I mean,
one,
Adam Eaton got booed when he got his ring. I mean, that's Jalen's a bigger part of this than Adam.
In Philly?
Eaton.
Wow.
Yeah. The Jalen thing is so interesting, Hugh, because you look at and Seth brought it up, right? He had a 111 passer rating, 2 touchdowns, no picks. You would say, that's good. It just was the way it went, right? Six of six, and then silent for 2 quarters, and then we pick it up again.
If it was a regular season performance, if it was early in the year coming off of the way that his season ended last year, that's a win. That's a respectable stat line for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But because the stakes are raised, the expectations are a lot higher. And that's how it works.
Yes. Kyle brought up earlier, it kind of reminded him of the Falcon playoff game, the divisional round in 2017, you know, January of 2018, when they won with Nick Foles his first playoff game that year. And then he got hot after that and really played well. The one difference I would say, just thinking back, is that is an interesting comp because they didn't light it up that day. They won 15-10, Hugh, I'm sure you remember it well because you were down in Atlanta then. That was the throw from Matt Ryan to Julio Jones, and he just didn't catch it.
And Foles throwing one off of Keanu Neal's knee.
The difference for me in Foles then Hurts now is I felt Foles was awful in the first half and played well in the second half. It kind of he sprungboard that the way to. I think he was like 7-10 in the second half.
Sure, but Hurts was like 7-8 in the fourth yesterday.
All right,
I think,
that's
or
fair.
In the second half,
yeah,
he did pick it back up. Like there was a lull in between.
In the middle.
But he did start hot and finish pretty well.
Well, I hope the comparison is spot on because that means he lights up the next 2 weeks. Like the next 2 weeks after that weird Falcon performance, they scored like 70 points. I mean, like if that's the comp and we're going to do it, that'd be great.
I mean, really though, it wasn't just the Falcons game; it was the week before with the Cowboys game. He only played like a drive,
a quarter.
They stunk, and then the week before against the Raiders when they still had to clinch the one seed, so that game was important. And they look terrible there, too. I mean, we were having the Sudfeld conversation.
I remember it well. Yeah, it's just like the Tanner McKee calls now. 215-592-9494. Will in the Northeast. Hey, Will.
Dream Team, how y'all doing today?
Hey, Will. What's up?
Oh, man. Let me just start off with this, right? I've been saying this for, like, since the last two seasons, right? It's all about activating all your weapons and expanding the playbook, right? So that's what we're looking for now. Because if we haven't learned from last season, you know, if we become a one-dimensional team as far as just pounding the ball, we see the results that happen to us, right? So it's nothing wrong with pounding the ball and everything and moving the ball. But, you know, we got to expand that playbook. And also, you have all these weapons. I was saying stuff about Dotson the whole entire year. You know what I'm saying? These are weapons that you could have been activating in the course of every game because we're going to need these type of players because these are the players that nobody is really going to look at that can do damage. But we don't look at that. We play with the same players and over and over again. You got to expand the playbook and activate the team. That's why the Lions is so great because of their strategy. Because of their playbook, because of their playmakers. They involve everybody into the game. And that's why they're so hard to stop, right? So the thing is, what I want to see from Jalen is, you know, keep playing the way you playing, bro. You get what I'm saying? I'd like to see a quarterback go through all these different coordinators and still make the playoffs. That's another thing that's not talked about a lot, right? So the thing is this. this. If you want to compare him to Nick Foles, compare him. Because you know what I liked about Nick Foles? No matter what, during that drive, we either got a score or a field goal. And that's what we want from Jalen. And you know what Jalen did last week? He did what the defense was able to give us. He looked the defense down, and whatever the defense, he took what the defense was giving.
Yeah, and it wasn't much because they had a lot of those guys covered up, Will, including AJ, who didn't just look, he was running well. Will, good phone call there. 215-592-9494. All right, coming up, Ross Tucker, his thoughts on the game, Hurts' performance, and next Sunday versus the Rams. Ross's first thoughts on the matchup, plus your phone calls on Jalen Hurts. Are you giving him a mulligan for his performance against the Packers? 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
Let's talk about bacon. You know, y'all know I love me some bacon. I love especially Hatfield bacon. It's delicious, and there are so many different flavors and cuts to choose from, like hardwood smoked bacon, applewood smoked bacon, and thick-cut hardwood smoked bacon. But my absolute favorite when it comes to bacon is the extra thick-cut maple brown sugar bacon. So do yourself a favor and go get your bacon fix and get some Hatfield bacon today. Head to simplyhatfield.com and put some pork on your fork.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's one of your favorites, Hugh?
Not at all.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Well, he's
I know
never come around on the Taylor Swift.
I know. Some things he does come around on. Not this. That's okay, though, because we know Ross Tucker does. He's our next guest at Ross Tucker NFL for his daily Ross Report. Ross, how you doing today?
Fantastic. What's up, fellas? How are you?
What's going on?
Well, we're good. And we got divisional round weekend in the NFL, one of the best weekends of the year. Ross, let's get to it, including your first start of the matchup here, Ross. The Eagles and the Rams Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Now, we saw it in November, and the Eagles won that game handily. Do you expect something similar, or do you think things have changed to where this could be more competitive Sunday?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I have mixed emotions on it. On the one hand, you know, I think the Rams are pretty good, so I think it's asking a lot for the Eagles to win by two scores and dominate them three straight times. I mean, they've done it the last 2 years out in L.A. in the regular season. So to do that again a third time would be super impressive. The flip side is, man, the Rams put a lot into that game last night. You know, they had to play away in Arizona because of the wildfires. They've got all kinds of things going on where they live in L.A. Then they have the away game. Then they probably got back at 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. Now they have a short week. Then they come out to the East Coast. It's going to be cold. I mean, I would just say there's a lot that is going against the Rams and their ability to win this game. It's funny because I know, Joe, you're into this, but on the Even Money Betting podcast I do with a guy named Steve Fezzik, a professional bettor, he loves the Eagles -6. Now, that makes me a little bit nervous, you know, because Eagles didn't look that great, especially on offense on Sunday against the Packers. The Rams looked really good last night. I don't know if I'd be laying 6, but I do feel pretty confident about the Eagles winning. It would be a super impressive win if the Rams got this win with everything I just said, including it might snow and it's going to be in the 20s. I mean, that would really be one of the more impressive wins I've seen in the last few years if the Rams come into Philly and get this win on Sunday.
All right, Ross, let's talk about how the Eagles looked a couple days ago against the Packers. It was I would call it a 2024 Eagles victory. They ran it. They played amazing defense. They got some turnovers. And the passing game was up and down. I mean, Jalen started 6 for 6, and it felt like, oh, maybe he doesn't have rust. And then, you know, almost two quarters went by without a completion. Ross, what did you notice from the game Sunday, specifically the pass game, which just didn't seem to have a lot of juice after the first 6 completions?
Well, a couple things. One is, I think, and maybe rightfully so, they came out in several series and threw the ball on first down or tried to throw the ball on first down because they wanted to, you know, get Jalen into a rhythm and they felt like the Packers were trying to stop the run. But what ended up happening is they would throw it on first down, you know, nothing's there, he throws it away or whatever. Then second down, they'd throw. They got in so many third and longs. I actually thought in the second quarter in particular, they got away from the run too early. You know, those first couple drives, yes, Hurts completed some passes, but they were also running it very effectively. And I thought they could have and should have leaned on that a little bit more in the second quarter. It did not seem like Hurts was seeing it very well, which I think is usually one of the biggest issues when you have that time off, is just the speed of the game and the speed at which those guys are bringing blitzes at you or disguising their coverages. I would also say, though, it did not seem like the Eagles were getting as much separation as I would have thought or hoped in the game. It wasn't like it wasn't like I was watching and there was wide open receivers all over the place and Hurts wasn't pulling the trigger. I think what we've seen from Hurts really the second half of the year, maybe ever since the bye week, he is not going to put the ball in harm's way. I mean, he's much more likely to take a sack or throw it away than he is to try to fit the ball in if he doesn't think it's there, right or wrong. And we can have a long conversation about whether he needs to be more willing to let it rip in those situations versus protecting it. But, you know, with the way the defense is playing and the way they run the ball and the O-line, I kind of get and on some level respect that Hurts does not want to take chances or put the ball in harm's way.
Well, that makes sense. It's worked most weeks, and it certainly worked against the Packers. You mentioned the defense there, Ross. They were outstanding against Green Bay, forcing turnovers, great in coverage. Zach Bond with the big play. And how about Nolan Smith here, Ross? You know, I know every player progresses at their own rate, but his first year in the league, he didn't play much. Beginning of this year, it wasn't much. He was even playing a lot, and I'm sure you remember broadcasting the games in the final preseason game. He was on the field a lot, and I just started to think maybe it's just not going to happen or he's not ready. His progression as this year has gone on has been incredible. He's the youngest Eagle ever with 2 sacks in a playoff game. He was phenomenal on Sunday.
He was awesome. And we've kind of been waiting for this over the second half of the year. You know, I wasn't sure this was going to happen for him. You know, he didn't play much last year. They didn't really trust him. And even, you know, to your point, he might have played more than like Jalix Hunt did in the last preseason game. I'm trying to think about that last preseason game, and it felt to me like I think Nolan Smith played most of the game, whereas Jalix Hunt, I don't think he did. It was almost like Hunt was ahead of Nolan Smith, but maybe they just wanted Nolan to get those reps. I didn't really see a lot of moves from him. Felt like he was just kind of a straight line speed guy. Let me tell you, he's got a really cool combination of he has rare, rare change of direction. I mean, Hugh can tell you this, but for him to beat the right tackle with an inside move clean, Jordan Love flushes to the right, the opposite direction of where all of Nolan Smith's body is taking him, and he was able to redirect and get that sack. Super impressive. And then earlier in the game, he set the tone when Elgton Jenkins pulled and he went and blew him up. Last time I saw, he was listed at 235. Like, this is not a big defensive end. This is not a big, thick-legged, 280-pound Hugh Douglas, okay? This is a 235-pound guy who is not afraid to get in there and bang. I think the future is very bright, and I think it's a good example of us needing to just kind of stay patient. And if you've got a guy that can really move the way he can move, but is also willing to be physical and has a nonstop battery, nonstop motor like he does, good things are eventually going to happen.
And they did on Sunday. All right, let's talk about the one negative on the defense Sunday. Unfortunately, the injury to N'Kobe Dean. So he's gone. He'll be out, and we'll see when he's able to recover next season. But, Ross, it gives a chance for someone else to be up. It was Oren Burks in the game this past Sunday. Vic Fangio just spoke and alluded to the idea that maybe Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could get some snaps too. But N'Kobe had been playing well, and I noticed after he went out, Ross, they were throwing at Josh Jacobs more, and I'm guessing Sean McVay will try to get the ball to Kyren Williams next week, potentially, Jahmyr Gibbs. How big of a loss is N'Kobe, and do you think we will see some Trotter Jr. out there on Sunday?
Well, and not only were they throwing it to Jacobs, they definitely ran it more effectively after N'Kobe was out. You know, Jacobs definitely had more success running it after that. The playing two guys is an interesting thing, especially because, and they could change this, but especially because they're both core special teamers, you know? So one way to go would be to take Burks off of special teams and he gets all the snaps on defense, or you could rotate him a little bit on defense and keep Burks on teams, which is the biggest reason why he's there. And he made the biggest play of the game. I mean, the fumble on the opening kickoff was the biggest play of the game, clearly. So I'll be very curious to see whether or not they rotate, or Joe Fangio might be putting that out there just to give Sean McVay something to think about and to not be able to count on it being Burks. That said, you know, I don't know that it's going to deter McVay from trying to take advantage of the linebacker opposite Bond regardless. I would also say, though, to your point, you know, N'Kobe's not great in coverage anyway. You know what I mean? Like, N'Kobe's not covering Jahmyr Gibbs very well if that happened, period. That's a matchup that's not in the Eagles' favor that they're trying to avoid regardless.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's get your thoughts on the other three games, the divisional round weekend. Obviously, the NFC game will affect the Eagles. Let's start there. Saturday night, the Commanders off a win in Tampa, and this run keeps going for them as they go to Detroit now. They're 8.5-point underdogs. We got some people, including Hugh, who think the Commanders are live here Saturday. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, Joe, you and I were way ahead of everybody else when it comes to Jaden Daniels. Hopefully you guys have pulled the clips. You can go back to the summer or after the draft.
We tried to tell everyone, Ross.
We tried to tell everybody. You know, I like them more than Caleb Williams coming out. And, you know, every time I go on any other station, they're like, who's your surprise team? Who's your surprise? And I just kept saying the Commanders because of Jaden Daniels. He's even better than I thought he was. His ability to make the winning plays late in games is bananas for a rookie. I mean, the Eagles game, the week after that, Sunday Night Football against the Falcons, a game they had to have, he makes all the plays late. Against the Bucks, he makes all the plays. They didn't punt or turn the ball over once on the road in a playoff game. Super, super impressed with him. And I think mainly Daniels and the belief in him gives them a chance. I don't think they're going to win that game, but I do like the Commanders getting the points. I think the Commanders are going to have a very tough time stopping the Lions' offense. If the Commanders win that game, it feels to me like it's going to have to be like 38-35, and he just absolutely dominated. It's funny. I'll give you guys one that you'll appreciate that we talked about on the Even Money Betting Podcast. I didn't even know you could do this, but my co-host is betting under 6 punts in that game. So think about how good the Commanders and Lions both are on offense. But then not only that, Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn, they go for it on fourth down all the time. The Commanders just went for it 5 times. The Lions went for it all the time. So you can bet under 6 punts. I thought that was awesome, and I think that's what the game's going to be like.
Yeah, it's a fun one. The over-under of the game is 55.5. All right, Ross, AFC, Texans against the Chiefs, and then the big one Sunday. It's the Ravens in Buffalo. The Ravens are now the favorite in that game. What's your thought on how the AFC could play out?
Yep, I'll be there in Kansas City on Saturday with Kevin Harlan for Westwood One, which I think will be here on WIP. Looking forward to it. You know, the Texans are elite at edge rusher and at corner, and that gives them a chance. It really does. Plus, I'm curious to see how the Chiefs start this game. You know, I definitely thought there was some rust on Jalen Hurts' behalf. The Chiefs haven't played. When they kick off, it'll be like 23 or 24 days since they played. They haven't played since Christmas. That's a long time without the speed of the game. I think it's a chance for the Texans to kind of jump on them early, which is probably their best chance to win. Bills, Ravens, I can't recall in recent years a more entertaining, exciting, anticipated divisional round matchup. The top two vote getters for the MVP. I think the Ravens are probably a little bit of a better team, but it's in Buffalo. And that's not been a good place for Lamar Jackson, not been a good team for Lamar Jackson to play against. You know, I probably lean to the Ravens because of Derrick Henry, and I just think that is not the best matchup for the Bills, a team that runs it right at them. But the game's going to be fantastic. Josh Allen's going to run a lot. Lamar probably will also. I mean, it's do or die. Going to be a fantastic game. You know, right or wrong, it's going to be the type of game that's going to take so much out of the winner that I feel like they're going to have run out of gas when they play likely the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game next week.
Probably. Ross, it's going to be a great weekend. We'll be listening Saturday. Enjoy it all, and we'll talk next week, hopefully getting ready for an Eagles title game.
Oh, man, I hope so. Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL. How about that, Hugh? The Ravens are now the favorite on the road. That game is going to be one of the most anticipated quarterback matchups we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good game, man. I mean, you talk about two guys that, you know, with all the weapons that they have around, you talk about Derrick Henry on one side and the lack of receiving cores or the lack of name receivers on the Buffalo side. It's going to be all about those two guys.
Man, I think the Ravens are probably slightly better right now, but the Bills are home underdogs?
Yeah, that's crazy.
With the guy that's been one of the best players in the league all year, and Josh Allen, yeah, that feels like crazy. They're going to play the disrespect card all week up there. We're underdogs
should,
at home?
So do we know who the MVP favorite is currently. I don't.
So they take it down.
It,
you
they?
Can't bet on it because the voting
it's
is
fixed
over
now. Yeah. Right? Yeah. Yeah. Man,
it ended with Allen as the favorite, but then we found out Lamar was first team All Pro quarterback, and
kind of lets you think that Lamar might
the same,
be the guy.
It's the same voters, isn't it?
It is the same pool of voters. It makes you think Lamar is the MVP.
So the disrespect card is double then
totally.
in favor of Josh Allen, who's going to be at home and could think that the MVP was stolen from him.
It's interesting the way Ross framed it. He thinks that the game might be so physical, they're both kind of wiped out before they get to Kansas City next week, whoever wins that game. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Bruce in D.C. is up. Hey, Bruce.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Bruce, what's up, buddy?
Hey, man, look, I'm feeling really good, especially after L.A. winning that game last night. That was a team that I wanted to play. So I'm happy and just really confident about the Eagles being able to get to the NFC Championship. But my biggest thing here is talking about this whole thing with Jalen Hurts and the offense. I just have to say this, you know, and I'm so glad that you all have been kind of just hitting it off and on earlier about the criticism of JH. And I looked at that film clip. I think his name is Orlovsky. I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name. But
Orlovsky, Dan Orlovsky, yep.
Right. And this goes to show, because I'm going to tell you, after that game, I was so mad about not necessarily Jalen. He gets the mulligan, okay, because he hasn't been there. So that's the one point. But this is my thing going back to Kellen Moore. And I said it before, and I said it again. Here's the thing. I think that, you know, that his scheming, and I put this more on him, and they just did not plan this thing out because there were no passes in the middle. Okay, if the wide receivers aren't working, you know, AJ is not 100%. You got two very capable tight ends. You could go to a 12-personnel package. Send some of them up the middle. Get some, you know, intermediate routes, 8 to 12 yards instead of sending them down the field. They went over and over again. They didn't make any good halftime adjustments. And Jalen had to literally audible out of a play to get a touchdown because they're not scheming correctly. They're not coming up with enough patterns, and they just did them a total injustice in that game based on the situation.
Well, so, Orlovsky thought that too, Bruce, and so did Jason Avant. Hugh, it's interesting that Bruce, good phone call. Like, did Kellen Moore just get out schemed by the Green Bay defense coordinator, or did they intentionally keep it simple because they knew Jalen was himself, so they didn't have everything in?
That's a valid point, and we don't know, and we've heard a bunch of different scenarios where it feels like, you know, some of it's Jalen. I'm not absolving Jalen from all of this, but some of it could potentially be the plays that were called. Some of it could be the fact that the receivers weren't getting the separation, like Ross said. It's amazing to me it's interesting how mostly all the offensive players see the game differently than the defensive players do. You know, we focus more on the defense and how well they play,
yep.
But most offensive players, when they look at the way that it shook out, it's like, well, the offense wasn't that great because of this. You know, nobody was open. Nobody, you know, Jalen was a little rusty. I think that there's a little bit of truth in everything that's being said when you talk about all of this. But the bottom line is you have to be better next week. And Kellen Moore, you know, when you watch film and you're grading stuff, coaches get graded too. It's like, hey, I could have probably called a better play in that situation. If you're being honest with yourself, hey, maybe I could have helped you out a little bit. And again, and I said it earlier, is that if you know that your quarterback is risk averse when it comes to throwing the football in traffic, then call plays that take that equation out of it.
Like when they checked to the Goddard play.
Yes,
that wasn't in traffic. That was an easy
play. Do that. If you know your quarterback is uncomfortable putting the ball in traffic, don't make him put it in traffic. That's just simple. Simple math right there.
Keep it simple, stupid. I mean, that's it. I mean,
that's the best thing to do.
I mean, in everything in part of life. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Len in Newtown. Hey, Len.
Hey, guys. Long time, first time, and really enjoy the show.
Oh, I appreciate it, Len. What's up, buddy?
not handing out any mulligans, but I'm not really looking that much at Jalen as I am to the offensive scheme. And a couple other people have touched on this. You know, we say a lot that the passing game is, quote-unquote, efficient. But efficient means getting the most you can out of what you have. And every time I see A.J. Brown running a 7-yard button hook, sitting down in the zone and getting clobbered, I'm thinking, that's not that efficient. That guy is great on the move. He doesn't have to be a deep ball. And yards after catch, he's not taking those kinds of hits, and he's a beast. And if you do want to take the occasional deep shot, he's as good as Randy Moss at using his body to make sure he's got position on the defender. So, you know, your risk on those are low, and I don't think we should be bombs away. But I think if we do that stuff and use the weapons that we have for what they're good at, then it does open up the running game more. You get more balance in the attack. I mean, we have seen Jalen do that for stretches, so I don't know if it's the scheme or the receivers or Jalen, but you can see when the only thing on his mind is delivering the football. And when he does, he delivers a nice ball. He's got a good deep arm. It's not a throw he can't make. But I think they give him – they rely too much on the fact that he has so many tools and for him to make it up as he's going along. I don't think that does him a service, and I think it makes the offense a little bit more of a crapshoot.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, look, because he can get them out of problems sometimes with his legs and with his ability to get away. And Len, we appreciate the phone call. I know this, that they have to, if they're going to keep winning at the rate they're winning, which is incredible, they've won all but one game since the end of September, but as the biggest games happen, they're going to need some more of the pass game. I mean, that's it. Maybe it's this Sunday, and Hugh seems to think this week they could do it like last week. But as we get to Detroit and then the Super Bowl, I think they know that, and it's a matter of how they get there and when they get there. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh's given Jalen a mulligan for Sunday. Are you? I'm not. When we get back, we have to get to a circus down in Dallas because, yeah, there's so much going on down there, including the name that everyone's been wondering, is it actually going to get attached to the Cowboys now open job? It will, but when we come back, we got to kick the Packers while they're down. One last time, we turn the page on them. Something said by them after the game. We'll play it next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season.
It's one of your favorites, Hugh?
Not at all.
How did I know you were going to say that?
Well, he's
I know,
never come around on the Taylor Swift.
I know. Some things he does come around on. Not this. That's okay, though, because we know Ross Tucker does. He's our next guest at Ross Tucker NFL for his daily Ross Report. Ross, how you doing today?
Fantastic. What's up, fellas? How are you?
What's going on?
Well, we're good. And we got divisional round weekend in the NFL, one of the best weekends of the year. Ross, let's get to it, including your first start of the matchup here, Ross. The Eagles and the Rams Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Now, we saw it in November, and the Eagles won that game handily. Do you expect something similar, or do you think things have changed to where this could be more competitive Sunday?
Yeah, it's such a good question. I have mixed emotions on it. On the one hand, you know, I think the Rams are pretty good, so I think it's asking a lot for the Eagles to win by two scores and dominate them three straight times. I mean, they've done it the last 2 years out in L.A. in the regular season. So to do that again a third time would be super impressive. The flip side is, man, the Rams put a lot into that game last night. You know, they had to play away in Arizona because of the wildfires. They've got all kinds of things going on where they live in L.A. Then they had the away game. Then they probably got back at 1 or 2 a.m. in the morning. Now they have to a short week. Then they come out to the East Coast. It's going to be cold. I mean, I would just say there's a lot that is going against the Rams and their ability to win this game. It's funny because I know, Joe, you're into this, but on the Even Money Betting podcast I do with a guy named Steve Fezzik, a professional bettor, he loves the Eagles -6. Now, that makes me a little bit nervous, you know, because Eagles didn't look that great, especially on offense on Sunday against the Packers. The Rams looked really good last night. I don't know if I'd be laying 6, but I do feel pretty confident about the Eagles winning. It would be a super impressive win if the Rams got this win with everything I just said, including it might snow and it's going to be in the 20s. I mean, that would really be one of the more impressive wins I've seen in the last few years if the Rams come into Philly and get this win on Sunday.
All right, Ross, let's talk about how the Eagles looked a couple days ago against the Packers. It was I would call it a 2024 Eagles victory. They ran it. They played amazing defense. They got some turnovers. And the passing game was up and down. I mean, Jalen started 6-for-6, and it felt like, oh, maybe he doesn't have rust. And then, you know, almost two quarters went by without a completion. Ross, what did you notice from the game Sunday, specifically the pass game, which just didn't seem to have a lot of juice after the first six completions?
Well, a couple things. One is I think, and maybe rightfully so, they came out in several series and threw the ball on first down or tried to throw the ball on first down because they wanted to, you know, get Jalen into a rhythm and they felt like the Packers were trying to stop the run. But what ended up happening is they would throw it on first down, you know, nothing's there, he throws it away or whatever. Then second down, they'd throw. They got in so many third and longs. I actually thought in the second quarter in particular, they got away from the run too early. You know, those first couple drives, yes, Hurts completed some passes, but they were also running it very effectively. And I thought they could have and should have leaned on that a little bit more in the second quarter. It did not seem like Hurts was seeing it very well, which I think is usually one of the biggest issues when you have that time off, is just the speed of the game and the speed at which those guys are bringing blitzes at you or disguising their coverages. I would also say, though, it did not seem like the Eagles were getting as much separation as I would have thought or hoped in the game. It wasn't like I was watching and there was wide open receivers all over the place and Hurts wasn't pulling the trigger. I think what we've seen from Hurts really the second half of the year, maybe ever since the bye week, he is not going to put the ball in harm's way. I mean, he's much more likely to take a sack or throw it away than he is to try to fit the ball in if he doesn't think it's there, right or wrong. And we can have a long conversation about whether he needs to be more willing to let it rip in those situations versus protecting it. But, you know, with the way the defense is playing and the way they run the ball and the O-line, I kind of get and on some level respect that Hurts does not want to take chances or put the ball in harm's way.
Well, that makes sense. It's worked most weeks, and it certainly worked against the Packers. You mentioned the defense there, Ross. They were outstanding against Green Bay, forcing turnovers, great in coverage. Zach Bond with the big play. And how about Nolan Smith here, Ross? You know, I know every player progresses at their own rate, but his first year in the league, he didn't play much. Beginning of this year, it wasn't much. He was even playing a lot, and I'm sure you remember broadcasting games in the final preseason game. He was on the field a lot, and I just started to think maybe it's just not going to happen or he's not ready. His progression as this year has gone on has been incredible. He's the youngest Eagle ever with two sacks in a playoff game. He was phenomenal on Sunday.
He was awesome. And we've kind of been waiting for this over the second half of the year. You know, I wasn't sure this was going to happen for him. You know, he didn't play much last year. They didn't really trust him. And even, you know, to your point, he might have played more than like Jalix Hunt did in the last preseason game. I'm trying to think about that last preseason game, and it felt to me like I think Nolan Smith played most of the game, whereas Jalix Hunt, I don't think he did. It was almost like Hunt was ahead of Nolan Smith, but maybe they just wanted Nolan to get those reps. I didn't really see a lot of moves from him. Felt like he was just kind of a straight line speed guy. Let me tell you, he's got a really cool combination of he has rare change of direction. I mean, Hugh can tell you this, but for him to beat the right tackle with an inside move clean, Jordan Love flushes to the right, the opposite direction of where all of Nolan Smith's body is taking him, and he was able to redirect and get that sack. Super impressive. And then earlier in the game, he set the tone when Elgton Jenkins pulled and he went and blew him up. Last time I saw, he was listed at 235. Like, this is not a big defensive end. This is not a big, thick-legged, 280-pound Hugh Douglas, okay? This is a 235-pound guy who is not afraid to get in there and bang. I think the future is very bright, and I think it's a good example of us needing to just kind of stay patient, and if you've got a guy that can really move the way he can move, but is also willing to be physical and has a nonstop battery, nonstop motor like he does, good things are eventually going to happen.
And they did on Sunday. All right, let's talk about the one negative on the defense Sunday. Unfortunately, injury to N'Kobe Dean. So he's gone. He'll be out, and we'll see when he's able to recover next season. But, Ross, it gives a chance for someone else to be up. It was Oren Burks in the game this past Sunday. Vic Fangio just spoke and alluded to the idea that maybe Jeremiah Trotter Jr. could get some snaps too. But N'Kobe had been playing well, and I noticed after he went out, Ross, they were throwing at Josh Jacobs more, and I'm guessing Sean McVay will try to get the ball to Kyren Williams next week, potentially, Jahmyr Gibbs. How big of a loss is N'Kobe, and do you think we will see some Trotter Jr. out there on Sunday?
Well, and not only were they throwing it to Jacobs, they definitely ran it more effectively after N'Kobe was out. You know, Jacobs definitely had more success running it after that. The playing two guys is an interesting thing, especially because, and they could change this, but especially because they're both core special teamers, you know? So one way to go would be to take Burks off of special teams and he gets all the snaps on defense, or you could rotate him a little bit on defense and keep Burks on teams, which is the biggest reason why he's there. And he made the biggest play of the game. I mean, the fumble on the opening kickoff was the biggest play of the game, clearly. So I'll be very curious to see whether or not they rotate, or Joe Fangio might be putting that out there just to give Sean McVay something to think about and to not be able to count on it being Burks. That said, you know, I don't know that it's going to deter McVay from trying to take advantage of the linebacker opposite Bond regardless. I would also say, though, to your point, you know, N'Kobe's not great in coverage anyway. You know what I mean? Like, N'Kobe's not covering Jahmyr Gibbs very well if that happened, period. That's a matchup that's not in the Eagles' favor that they're trying to avoid regardless.
Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, let's get your thoughts on the other three games, the divisional round weekend. Obviously, the NFC game will affect the Eagles. Let's start there. Saturday night, the Commanders off a win in Tampa, and this run keeps going for them as they go to Detroit now. They're 8.5-point underdogs. We got some people, including Hugh, who think the Commanders are live here Saturday. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, Joe, you and I were way ahead of everybody else when it comes to Jaden Daniels. Hopefully you guys have pulled the clips. You can go back to the summer or after the draft.
We tried to tell everyone, Ross.
We tried to tell everybody. You know, I liked them more than Caleb Williams coming out. And, you know, every time I go on any other station, they're like, who's your surprise team? Who's your surprise? And I just kept saying the Commanders because of Jaden Daniels. He's even better than I thought he was. His ability to make the winning plays late in games is bananas for a rookie. I mean, the Eagles game, the week after that, Sunday Night Football against the Falcons, a game they had to have, he makes all the plays late. Against the Bucks, he makes all the plays. They didn't punt or turn the ball over once on the road in a playoff game. Super, super impressed with him. And I think mainly Daniels and the belief in him gives them a chance. I don't think they're going to win that game, but I do like the Commanders getting the points. I think the Commanders are going to have a very tough time stopping the Lions' offense. If the Commanders win that game, it feels to me like it's going to have to be like 38-35, and he just absolutely dominated. It's funny. I'll give you guys one that you'll appreciate that we talked about on the Even Money Betting Podcast. I didn't even know you could do this, but my co-host is betting under 6 punts in that game. So think about how good the Commanders and Lions both are on offense. But then not only that, Dan Campbell and Dan Quinn, they go for it on fourth down all the time. Like, oh, I mean, the Commanders just went for it five times. The Lions went for it all the time. So you can bet under six punts. I thought that was awesome, and I think that's what the game's going to be like.
Yeah, it's a fun one. The over-under on the game is 55.5. Art Ross, AFC, Texans against the Chiefs, and then the big one Sunday. It's the Ravens in Buffalo. The Ravens are now the favorite in that game. What's your thought on how the AFC could play out?
Yep, I'll be there in Kansas City on Saturday with Kevin Harlan for Westwood One, which I think will be here on WIP. Looking forward to it. You know, the Texans are elite at edge rusher and at corner, and that gives them a chance. It really does. Plus, I'm curious to see how the Chiefs start this game. You know, I definitely thought there was some rust on Jalen Hurts' behalf. The Chiefs haven't played. When they kick off, it'll be like 23 or 24 days since they played. They haven't played since Christmas. That's a long time without the speed of the game. I think it's a chance for the Texans to kind of jump on them early, which is probably their best chance to win. Bills, Ravens, I can't recall in recent years a more entertaining, exciting, anticipated divisional round matchup. The top two vote getters for the MVP. I think the Ravens are probably a little bit of a better team, but it's in Buffalo. And that's not been a good place for Lamar Jackson, not been a good team for Lamar Jackson to play against. You know, I probably lean to the Ravens because of Derrick Henry, and I just think that is not the best matchup for the Bills, a team that runs it right at them. But the game's going to be fantastic. Josh Allen's going to run a lot. Lamar probably will also. I mean, it's do or die. Going to be a fantastic game. You know, right or wrong, it's going to be the type of game that's going to take so much out of the winner that I feel like they're going to have run out of gas when they play the likely the Chiefs in the AFC Championship game next week.
Probably. Ross, it's going to be a great weekend. We'll be listening Saturday. Enjoy it all, and we'll talk next week, hopefully getting ready for an Eagles title game.
Oh, man, I hope so. Sounds great. See you guys.
There he goes. Ross Tucker at Ross Tucker NFL. How about that, Hugh? The Ravens are now the favorite on the road. That game is going to be one of the most anticipated quarterback matchups we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, that's going to be a really good game, man. I mean, you talk about two guys that, you know, with all the weapons that they have around, you talk about Derrick Henry on one side and the lack of receiving corps or the lack of named receivers on the Buffalo side. It's going to be all about those two guys.
Man, I think the Ravens are probably slightly better right now, but the Bills are home underdogs?
Yeah, that's crazy.
With the guy that's been one of the best players in the league all year and Josh Allen,
yeah,
that feels like
crazy.
They're going to play the disrespect card all week up there. We're underdogs
should,
at
yeah.
home?
So do we know who the MVP favorite is currently? I don't.
So they take it down.
It,
you
they?
Can't bet on it because the voting
it's
is
fixed
over.
Now,
yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Man.
It ended with Allen as the favorite, but then we found out Lamar was first team all pro quarterback. And
kind of lets you think that Lamar
isn't it
might
the same,
be
the
guy.
It's the same voters, isn't it?
It is the same pool of voters. It makes you think Lamar's the MVP.
So the disrespect card is double then
totally.
in favor of Josh Allen, who's going to be at home and could think that the MVP was stolen from him.
It's interesting the way it's Ross juice. Framed it. He thinks that the game might be so physical, they're both kind of wiped out before they get to Kansas City next week, whoever wins that game. All right, let's go back to the phones here. Bruce in D.C. is up. Hey, Bruce.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Bruce,
what's going on,
what's
man?
Up, buddy?
Hey, man, look, I'm feeling really good, especially after L.A. winning that game last night. That was a team that I wanted to play. So I'm happy and just really confident about the Eagles being able to get to the NFC Championship. But, my biggest thing here is talking about this whole thing with Jalen Hurts and the offense. I just have to say this, you know, and I'm so glad that you all have been kind of just hitting it off and on earlier about the criticism of JH. And I looked at that film clip. I think his name is Orlovsky. I'm sorry if I'm butchering his name. But
Orlovsky, yeah, Dan Orlovsky, yep.
Right. And this goes to show, because I'm going to tell you, after that game, I was so mad about not necessarily Jalen. He gets the mulligan, okay, because he hasn't been there. So that's the one point. But this is my thing going back to Kellen Moore. And I said it before, and I said it again. Here's the thing. I think that, you know, that his scheming, and I put this more on him, and they just did not plan this thing out.
because there were no passes in the middle. Okay, if the wide receivers aren't working, you know, AJ is not 100%. You got two very capable tight ends. You could go to a 12 personnel package. Send some of them up the middle. Get some, you know, intermediate routes, 8 to 10 to 12 yards instead of sending them down the field. They went over and over again. They didn't make any good halftime adjustments. And Jalen had to literally audible out of a play to get a touchdown because they're not scheming correctly. They're not coming up with enough patterns, and they just did them a total injustice in that game based on the situation.
Well, so, Orlovsky thought that too, Bruce, and so did Jason Avant. Hugh, it's interesting that Bruce, good phone call. Like, did Kellen Moore just get out schemed by the Green Bay defense coordinator, or did they intentionally keep it simple because they knew Jalen was himself, so they didn't have everything in?
That's a valid point, and we don't know. And we've heard a bunch of different scenarios where it feels like, you know, some of it's Jalen. I'm not absolving Jalen from all of this, but some of it could potentially be the plays that were called. Some of it could be the fact that the receivers weren't getting the separation, like Ross said. It's amazing to me it's interesting how mostly all the offensive players see the game differently than the defensive players do. You know, we focus more on the defense and how well they play.
Yep.
But most offensive players, when they look at the way that it shook out, it's like, well, the offense wasn't that great because of this. You know, nobody was open. Nobody, you know, Jalen was a little rusty. I think that there's a little bit of truth in everything that's being said when you talk about all of this. But the bottom line is you have to be better next week. And Kellen Moore, you know, when you watch film and you're grading stuff, coaches get graded too. It's like, hey, I could have probably called a better play in that situation. If you're being honest with yourself, hey, maybe I could have helped you out a little bit. And again, and I said it earlier, is that if you know that your quarterback is risk averse when it comes to throwing the football in traffic, then call plays that take that equation out of it.
Like when they checked to the Goddard play.
Yes,
that wasn't in traffic. That was an easy
one. Do that. If you know your quarterback is uncomfortable putting the ball in traffic, don't make him put it in traffic. That's just simple. Simple math right there.
Keep it simple, stupid. I mean, that's it.
That's the best thing to do.
I mean, in everything in part of life. 215-592-9494. Let's talk to Len in Newtown. Hey, Len.
Hey, guys. Long time, first time. And really enjoy the show.
Oh, I appreciate it, Len. What's up, buddy?
Not handing out any mulligans, but I'm not really looking that much at Jalen as I am to the offensive scheme. And a couple other people have touched on this. You know, we say a lot that the passing game is, quote-unquote, efficient. But efficient means getting the most you can out of what you have. And every time I see A.J. Brown running a 7-yard button hook, sitting down in the zone and getting clobbered, I'm thinking, that's not that efficient. That guy is great on the move. He doesn't have to be a deep ball. And yards after catch, he's not taking those kinds of hits, and he's a beast. And if you do want to take the occasional deep shot, he's as good as Randy Moss at using his body to make sure he's got position on the defender. So, you know, your risk on those are low, and I don't think we should be bombs away. But I think if we do that stuff and use the weapons that we have for what they're good at, then it does open up the running game more. You get more balance in the attack. I mean, we have seen Jalen do that for stretches, so I don't know if it's the scheme or the receivers or Jalen, but you can see when the only thing on his mind is delivering the football. And when he does, he delivers a nice ball. He's got a good deep arm. It's not a throw he can't make. But I think they rely too much on the fact that he has so many tools and for him to make it up as he's going along. I don't think that does him a service. And I think it makes the offense a little bit more of a crapshoot.
Yeah, it might be. I mean, look, because he can get them out of problems sometimes with his legs and with his ability to get away. And Len, we appreciate the phone call. I know this, that they have to, if they're going to keep winning at the rate they're winning, which is incredible. They've won all but one game since the end of September. But as the biggest games happen, they're going to need some more of the pass game. I mean, that's it. Maybe it's this Sunday, and Hugh seems to think this week they could do it like last week. But as we get to Detroit and then a Super Bowl, I think they know that. And it's a matter of how they get there and when they get there. 215-592-9494. All right, Hugh's given Jalen a mulligan for Sunday. Are you? I'm not. When we get back, we have to get to a circus down in Dallas Because, yeah, there's so much going on down there, including the name that everyone's been wondering is actually going to get attached to the Cowboys' now open job. It will. But when we come back, we got to kick the Packers while they're down. One last time, we turn the page on them. Something said by them after the game. We'll play it next. 215-592-9494. It is the Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
The action is heating up this playoff season.